Imagine spending $35,000 in one afternoon. It happens all the time in the United States of America. That's how much an average wedding costs in the United States today. Why would people spend so much money in such a short period of time? They spend it to help make the event a very happy event, and they want to make sure it is as happy as possible.
你们可以想象一下, 在一个下午就花掉35,000美元, 这听起来很夸张, 但在美国, 这种事情经常发生, 这正是今天一场普通婚礼的平均花费, 为什么人们会花, 会在这么短的时间花去这么多的钱呢? 他们花去这么多的钱, 就是要确保一个非常幸福的婚礼, 而且他们想确保这一天尽可能的喜乐和难忘。
Weddings in Israel during the time of Jesus were also happy times. In fact, the receptions could last up to a week. And at the time of the wedding, the bride and the groom would often be marched around the city in a torchlit parade. It was a very happy time.
在耶稣时代，以色列的婚礼也是充满喜乐的时刻。事实上，婚宴往往会持续一整周，而在婚礼的当天，新郎和新娘常常会在火把游行，带领他们环城而行。这真是一个非常欢乐的时刻。
And it is at one of these wedding events that Jesus chose to perform his very first miracle. This is important in itself. John's Gospel is the only Gospel that records this event. It is explained as a sign, not as a miracle, even though it was a miracle. That indicates that it has very important significance.
正是在这样的婚礼宴席上, 耶稣选择施行了他的第一个神迹, 这本身就非常重要。在约翰福音中，只有约翰福音记载了这一个事件, 那么这个神迹被称为神迹的记号, 就是sign, 而不仅仅是神迹miracle, 尽管它确实是一个神迹, 它是神迹的记号, 这表明它具有非常重要的意义。
This account tells us something very special about Jesus. It also has something for those who are getting married, who are married, who want a better marriage. It also has an application to Holy Communion. Listen and see.
这一记载向我们揭示了有关耶稣非常特别的一方面。 他同样对那些即将结婚的或者已经结婚的或者渴望拥有更美好婚姻的人有所启发。此外，他与圣餐有着深刻的关联。请聆听并留心的体会。下面呢，我会请弟兄姊妹起立， Please stand up. We're reading the scripture, Gospel of John, Chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. 我来读圣经，先读圣经约翰福音2章1到11节。第三日，在加利利的迦拿有娶亲的筵席，耶稣的母亲在那里，耶稣和他们的门徒也被请去赴席，酒用尽了。耶稣的母亲对他说：“他们没有酒了。” 耶稣说：“母亲，也叫妇人，我与你有什么相干？我的时候还没有到。”他母亲对佣人说：“他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。”照犹太人洁净的规矩，有6口石缸摆在那里，每口可以盛2-3桶水。 耶稣对佣人说：“把缸倒满了水。”他们就倒满了，直到缸口。耶稣又说： 现在可以舀出来送给管宴席的，他们就送去了。管宴席的尝了那水变的酒，并不知道是哪里来的，只是舀水的佣人知道。管宴席的便叫新郎来，对他说，人都是先摆上好酒，等客喝足了才摆上次的，你倒把好酒留到如今。这是耶稣所行的头一件神迹，是在加利利的迦拿行的，显出他的荣耀来，他的门徒就信他了。下面我会读 Old Testament 旧约的阿摩斯书 Chapter 9 Verse 11-15。 到那时，我必建立大卫倒塌的帐幕，堵住其中的破口，把那破坏的建立起来，重新修造，像古时一样，使以色列人得以东所余剩的和所有称为我名下的国。此乃行这事的，此乃行这事的耶和华说的。耶和华说，日子将到，耕种的必积蓄收割的，快葡萄的必积蓄撒种的。大山要滴下甜酒，小山都必流奶。我必使我民以色列被掳的回归，他们必重修荒废的城邑居住，栽种葡萄园，喝其中所出的酒，修造果木园，吃其中的果子。我要将他们栽于本地，他们不再从我所赐给他们的地上拔出来。这是耶和华你的神说的。圣经就读到这里，弟兄姊妹 please sit down please。
My first major point is this: Jesus blesses by manifesting himself as the Messiah. Jesus blesses by manifesting himself as the Messiah. This becomes so clear as we see the action play out in verses 1-5. In verse 1, the day of the event is called the third day. That day is the third day because it is counted from the day of the calling of Nathanael. We are also told that Jesus' mother, Mary, was at this wedding. John is very good at recording things accurately so that we know this is a real historical account, and Mary's presence here confirms that Jesus was indeed a man.
在我讲到的第一个要点，就是耶稣借着赐下祝福，要显明他自己是弥赛亚。耶稣借着赐下的祝福，要显明他自己是弥赛亚，这一点在1-5节的经文中表现得非常清楚。在第一节中，这一天被称为第三日。之所以被称为第三日，是从耶稣呼召拿单业的那一天开始计算的。我们还被告知，耶稣的母亲玛利亚也在这场婚礼当中。约翰非常善于准确地记录细节，因此我们知道这是一段真实的历史记载。玛利亚的出现也进一步确认了耶稣确实是一位真实的人。
One of the great New Testament scholars of the 20th century and founders of Westminster Seminary here in Philadelphia was a man by the name of J. Gresham Machen. He had this to say about Jesus being real in his insightful book, Christianity and Liberalism. The Jesus of the New Testament has at least one advantage over the Jesus of modern Reconstruction. He is real. He is not a manufactured figure suitable as a point of support for ethical maxims, but a genuine person whom a man can love. Men have loved him through all the Christian centuries, and the strange thing is that despite all the efforts to remove him from the pages of history, there are those who love him still.
20世纪伟大的新约学者之一，也是费城西敏神学院的创办人之一，他的名字叫梅钦。他在他具有深刻洞见的著作，就是《基督教与自由主义》的书中，是这样谈到耶稣的真实性：新约中的耶稣比现代重构出来的耶稣至少有一个优势，他是真实的，他不是一个被人塑造用来支持理论格言的人物，而是一个真实的人，一个人可以去爱的那一位。在整个基督教的历史中，人们都爱他，而奇妙的是，尽管各种试图将他从历史中抹去的努力，今天仍旧有人继续的爱他。
Do you love him today? Listen further for some good reasons to love him.
你今天爱耶稣吗？请继续聆听，接下来我们会看到一些值得我们去爱他的美好的理由。
In verse 2, we begin to see the emphasis of the account be on Jesus himself. The grammar of the passage in the original Greek does place Jesus as the lone subject of verse 2. The fact that the disciples are there is a secondary issue. The verse could be translated, Jesus was invited and his disciples tagged along. Jesus is the main person of the Bible, and he is really the subject of this account.
在第二节中，我们开始看到这个记载的重点是放在耶稣的身上。根据原文希腊文的语法，耶稣是这节经文唯一的主语，门徒们的出现只是次要的细节。这节经文可以这样翻译，就是耶稣被邀请了，门徒们则是跟着他来的。耶稣是圣经的中心人物，他也是这段经文记载的主角。
As the wedding reception progresses in verse 3, we begin to see the big problem. The wine runs out. This was a disaster. Before the party was over, none was left for the guests to drink. There is an old rabbinical saying, without wine there is no joy. And the scriptures themselves declare in Psalm 104:15, wine makes glad the heart of man. So running out of wine meant that the bride, the groom, and the guests would be very unhappy. This is not the best way to begin a marriage. In fact, at this time in history, the groom's family was responsible for the reception, and his family could have even been sued for a disaster like this.
随着婚宴在第三节继续的进行，我们开始看到一个大的问题，就是酒用完了，这在当时是一场灾难。宴会还没有结束，宾客们就已经没有酒喝了。有一句古老的拉比箴言说，没有酒就没有喜乐。圣经本身也在诗篇104:15宣告说，酒能悦人心。所以酒用尽了，就意味着新郎新娘和宾客们都会感到失望和不悦，这对新婚来说并不是一个很好的开端。事实上，在那个时代，新郎的家庭要对婚宴负全责，而像这样的尴尬的情况甚至可能让新郎的家人面临被起诉的风险。
When I was in seminary, one of the things that I did to pay my way through school was to work as a waiter in a fine dining restaurant. The building for the restaurant was in an old southern mansion. It was a good paying job for the hours I worked, especially when the restaurant hosted a large wedding reception.
我在神学院读书的时候，为了支付学费，我曾在一家高档的餐厅当服务员。这家餐厅的建筑是一座老式的南方的豪宅。按照我工作的时间来说， 那是一份薪水不错的工作，特别是在餐厅举办大型婚宴的时候。
Once we had a similar disaster occur when a waiter dropped the wedding cake for the bride and groom. I'm not the one who dropped it, so I don't mind telling the story. What a terrible mess and an embarrassment it was. What happened that day in Cana of Galilee was something like that, only much worse. Thankfully, at the restaurant where I worked, we were able to get another wedding cake delivered there before the end of the reception. But the reception in Cana of Galilee would experience another solution.
有一次就发生了一场类似的灾难。一位服务员把婚礼的蛋糕掉到了地上。不是我掉的，所以我不介意再讲这个故事。那真是一场糟糕的混乱，令人尴尬的场面。在加利利加拿大那天所发生的事情就像那次的事故，只是更加的严重。值得感恩的是，在我工作的那家餐厅，在婚礼结束前，我们最终还是把另外一个婚礼的蛋糕送到了现场。但在加利利的加拿，那场婚宴将会经历另外一种解决的方式。
We must see an important application here.Big problems really are big opportunities for Jesus to be glorified. One of my seminary professors liked to say, there are no problems in ministry, just opportunities. This situation was a great opportunity for Jesus to be glorified. The general rule is, the bigger the problem, the greater the opportunity for Jesus to be glorified. So it is here.
我们在这里看到一个重要的应用。往往大的问题的出现就是耶稣大得荣耀的机会。我的一位神学院教授说，在事工中没有问题，只有机会。这一危机情况正是一个很好的机会，让耶稣得着荣耀。一般的原则是，问题越大，就是极大的机会让耶稣得着荣耀。在这里正是如此。
As the account now goes to verse 3,we see Mary informing Jesus of what happened. Then in verse 4 we read Jesus' reply. Here he calls Mary woman. That sounds impersonal, but it really is loving for Jesus to speak to her that way. Mary was his human mother, but now she will need to look at Jesus as her Savior. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what we should all do. Trust Jesus as our Savior.
接着看到第三节，玛利亚把所发生的事情告诉了耶稣。然后在第四节中，我们读到耶稣的回应，他称玛利亚为妇人。这听起来似乎有些生疏，但其实耶稣是出于爱才这样称呼他。玛利亚是他在世上的母亲，但从现在起他需要把耶稣当作他的救主来看待。这正是耶稣要表达的意思。而这也是我们每个人应该做的，信靠耶稣为我们的救赎主。
The rest of the grammar of the sentence corresponds to the Old Testament passages like Judges 11:12, 2 Samuel 16:10.That means a rejection of another's proposal. The next second sentence simply means, in this context, that Jesus was on his own schedule now. Jesus was now completing the transition from being Mary's son to her Savior. He was entering his messianic mission.
接下来这句话的语法结构与旧约中的一些经文类似，例如士师记的11:12和撒母耳记下16:10。这种表达方式意味着拒绝他人的提议。在当时的语境中，接下来的语句的意思很简单，就是耶稣现在要按照自己的时间表行事。耶稣正在完成一个身份的转变，就是从玛利亚的儿子转变为他的救主， 耶稣正在进入他弥赛亚的使命。
When you look at verse 5, you see some of the best motherly advice that a mother could ever give. Whatever he, that is Jesus, tells you to do, do it. In fact, that is the best advice that you could ever give anyone. After all, seeing Jesus for who he really is should cause all of us to want to do what he says to do.
当你看到第五节时，你会发现，这是作为母亲能给出最宝贵的劝告之一。耶稣告诉你们做什么，你们就做什么。事实上，这也应该是你能给出任何人最佳的建议。最后，当我们真正认识耶稣是谁的时候，我们每个人都应该愿意遵行耶稣所吩咐我们的一切。
There are some other interesting applications to the first part of this account. Yes, we see Jesus as the Messiah. That means the anointed one of God. In all the Gospels, only in John's is this great term used to describe Jesus. But there is something else very basic here. We see that Jesus is a man who came from his mother, Mary. But he is also God. John says so in John 1:14. The Word is God, and he became flesh, meaning he became a man too. Only God could do the things that Jesus does. This is the most basic reason to believe and trust him. Yes, he is a man, but he is also God. Children, remember that Jesus was a man, but he isn't just a man, he is God too.
在这段经文的记载的前半部分，还有一个非常有意义的应用。我们确实看到耶稣是那位弥赛亚，也就是神所高立的那一位。在四本福音书中，只有约翰福音使用了这个伟大的称呼来描述耶稣。但这里还有一个更基本的真理，我们看到耶稣是从玛利亚生出来的男人，但他也是神。约翰在福音书1:14这样说：道成了肉身，住在我们中间，道就是神，他成为肉身，也就是他成为了人。唯有神才能做耶稣所做的事情，这也就是说，这也是我们信靠他最根本的理由。他是人，他不仅是人，他也是神。所以神的儿女们要牢记，耶稣确实是一个人，但他不仅是人，他也是神。
The next part of the account shows us just what a great Messiah Jesus is. And that is my second major point. In verses 6-11, we see Jesus bless us by transforming his creation into something better. It's not really enough to just see Jesus and know who he is. He wants to touch your life too and make it more godly. So, how does he do that?
这段经文记载的下半部分向我们展示了耶稣是如此伟大的弥赛亚，这也是我讲到的第二个主要论点。耶稣是如此伟大的弥赛亚。在6-11中，我们看到耶稣通过将他的受造物转变为美好的东西来赐福他们。我们不仅仅明白耶稣，并且认识耶稣，这远远还不够。耶稣还要触摸到你的生命，使你的生命更加的敬虔。那么，他是如何做到的呢？
First of all, Jesus does use the ordinary things of life. The 6 stone water jars hold about 20-30 gallons of water. So the total amount of the water held by them was 120-180 gallons. That's quite a wedding present from Jesus. Note too that this is real wine. Jesus uses the same word for John uses the same word for wine here as Paul does in Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine. This fact explains why the master of the feast noticed that the best wine was saved until the end. Usually the best wine was given to the guests first. Then their palates would become desensitized so that the people would be less likely to notice the poorer quality wine given to them at the end.
首先，耶稣使用了我们日常生活中最普通的食物，这六口食缸，每口可剩20到30加仑的水，因此总共可以装120到180加仑的水。这真是一份相当丰厚的婚宴礼物。值得注意的是，这才是真正的酒。约翰在这里所使用的酒这个词，与保罗在以弗所书5:18所使用的是同一个词，不要醉酒。这个事实也解释了为何宴席的主管注意到最好的酒留到了最后。通常最好的酒一般是在一开始就给宾客喝的，随着宾客的味觉渐渐的迟钝，就不容易察觉到最后给的是品质较差的酒。
We don't want to miss another important application here. Notice just how Jesus performs this miracle. What human actions does he use? He told the servants to fill those jars with water, and they did. So there was human obedience involved. Jesus can work without our obedience, but most often he works through it. The more you obey him by his grace, the better the result will be. Obeying Jesus always leads to good results. The more you obey, the more grace from him you get.
这里，请我们不要错过另外一个重要的应用。请注意耶稣是如何行了这个神迹，他使用了人做出了哪些行动。他吩咐仆人们把十缸倒满了水，他们就照着做了。也就是说，这当中包含了人的顺服。耶稣当然可以在我们不顺服的情况下行事，但他多数的情况是借着我们的顺服来成就他的工作。你越是凭着主的恩典顺服他，结果就越美好。顺服耶稣总是带来美好的结果。你顺服的越多，从主耶稣那里领受的恩典也就越多。
I've just begun reading a book on the life of the great theologian Augustine. He lived mostly in the 5th century and became one of the leading figures of the ancient church. But he was not always a Christian. In fact, before his conversion at the age of 33, he was quite worldly. He became frustrated, though, with his lifestyle. One day, he read Romans 13:13-14, that says, "Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Augustine knew that he would be saved by faith in Christ alone, but that faith would not be alone. Once a believer in Jesus, his lifestyle would change dramatically to great obedience to Christ. God would be glorified in him.
我最近开始阅读一本关于伟大神学家奥古斯丁生平的书。他主要生活在第五世纪，后来成为早期教会重要的人物之一。但他一开始并不是基督徒。事实上，在他33岁悔改信主之前，他过着相当世俗的生活。然而，这种生活方式最终让他感到厌倦。有一天，他读到罗马书13:13-14，行事为人要端正，好像行在白昼，不可荒宴醉酒，不可好色邪大，不可争竞嫉妒，总要披戴主耶稣基督，不要为肉体安排， 去放纵私欲。奥古斯丁明白了，他唯独因信靠耶稣基督而被拯救，但这信心不是孤立的行动，一旦他成为信靠耶稣基督的人，他的生活方式就会发生巨大的改变，而对基督极大的顺服，神也在他的身上要得着荣耀。
Yes, Jesus transforms us for his own glory. Notice in verse 11, John says that Jesus did this miracle in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. That word glory reveals so much about God. In the Bible, it refers to the attribute of God that makes him God. Then you get the aspect of God's glory that is intended by looking at how the word glory is used. For example, in Romans 3:23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What part of God's glory is intended there? It is his holiness. Nobody can ever be as holy as God. We all fall short of that. In our passage in John 2, the part of God's glory intended is his goodness. God is so good that through the work of Jesus, he always makes us happier and more thankful so that our lives better reflect his glory.
是的，耶稣改变我们是为着他自己的荣耀。注意第十一节，约翰说耶稣在加利利的迦拿行了这个神迹是要显出他的荣耀来。荣耀这个词揭示了许多关于上帝的真理。在圣经中是指神之所以为神的属性，也就是说神本体的属性。然而通过查考荣耀一词不同层面的用法，你就会明白上帝的荣耀是什么意思了。例如在罗马书3:23，保罗说因为世人都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。但在约翰福音2，我们看到神的荣耀的另一个层面，就是他是良善。神是如此的良善，他通过耶稣的工作使我们的生命变得更喜乐更感恩，从而更好的能够反映出神的荣耀。
When you see just how good Jesus is, how can you not put your trust in him? Faith in Jesus in John's Gospel takes the person who believes right out of himself and unites him to Jesus Christ. There is real union here, and that union with Jesus is the best thing there is in life.
当你认识耶稣是何等的良善，你怎能不将你的信心放在他的身上呢？在约翰福音中，对耶稣的信心是指信靠耶稣的人不再依靠你自己，而是依靠耶稣和耶稣联合。那么这是一个真实的联合，而且呢，与耶稣的联合是你人生中最美好最宝贵的事情了。
We don't want to miss this clear implication of trusting Christ. In this account we see Jesus performing a transformational miracle. All of his miracles were transformational. Christianity is a transformational relationship with Jesus himself. You don't get something new, you become something new. You don't add Jesus on, you are transformed by him. Romans 6:4 says we are, as God's people, to walk in newness of life. Jesus makes us new. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Live as a new creation for Jesus' sake."
我们不能错过信靠耶稣基督所带给我们这个清晰深刻的真理的应用。那么在这段经文的记载中，我们看到耶稣行了一个转变性的神迹，或者转化性的神迹。耶稣所行的神迹是改变性的。基督教不是一套规条，而是与耶稣自己的一个本质性转变的关系。 你不是得到了一些新的东西，而是改变成为一个新的人。你不是把耶稣加到你的生命，而是你被耶稣彻底的改变。罗马书六章四节说，我们作为神的子民，是要在新生的样式中生活。耶稣使我们焕然一新。保罗在哥林多后书五章十七节说，若有人在基督里，他就是新造的人，旧事已过，都变成新的了。因着耶稣，请你活出新造的生命。
Let's also consider an implication for marriage here. This passage really tells us about Jesus and his messianic coming. The main idea of the passage doesn't involve marriage. But there is an application for marriage here, for sure. That is to focus on Jesus in marriage. A Christian marriage put Jesus in the center of it. After all, God did create marriage, and he regulates it for his glory. So it shouldn't be so much about what I want, what my wife wants, but what Jesus wants. When we focus on him together, we will have a Christ-honoring marriage.
我们在这里在思考一个关于婚姻的运用。虽然这段经文的主要讲述是耶稣作为弥赛亚的到来，主要的信息并不是专门论及到婚姻的，但在应用里确实是关于婚姻属灵的应用。那就是在婚姻中，当以耶稣为中心，一个基督徒的婚姻应当是把耶稣放在婚姻的中心，因为婚姻是上帝所设计的，上帝也为了他自己的荣耀来管理婚姻，所以婚姻不是关于我想要什么，或者我的配偶想要什么，而是关于耶稣要什么。当我们夫妻一同专注在基督身上，我们就是一个荣耀基督的婚姻。
Furthermore, we will see Jesus again at a wedding feast. It will be the greatest wedding feast ever. It is the one spoken of in Revelation 19, verses 6 to 8. There, Jesus will be the bridegroom, and we, as his church, will be his bride. That will be a glorious day.
此外，我们将来还会在另一场婚宴中再遇到耶稣，那将是历史性最荣耀的婚姻，就是在启示录十九章六到八节所提到的婚宴。在那里，耶稣作为新郎出现，而我们作为他的教会将成为他的新娘，那将是极其荣耀的日子。
Jesus can do all of this because he is the Messiah who has come to transform us into something better. But let's not miss the complete significance of this passage. In the Old Testament, the time of Messiah's coming was to be a time of an abundance of wine. This is what Isaiah 25:6, Joel 3:18, and Amos 9:13, which we read this morning, imply. This passage tells us about the first coming of Jesus and the great transformation and joy he brings. The central meaning of the passage is Jesus has come as Messiah to bless his creation by transforming it into something better. Related to that, the Bible tells us that the fruit of the vine is a powerful messianic symbol. That's why it is used in Holy Communion. Jesus came to pay the price for our sin by dying. Jesus also came to make our lives better by washing away the power of sin over us. When you drink the fruit of the vine, that's what you're saying. Sin is being washed away. You are becoming more holy because of him. So remember that when you partake of the Lord's Supper.
耶稣之所以能够做到这一切，是因为他是弥赛亚。他是那位来改变我们，要改变我们成为更美好的那一位弥赛亚。但我们也不要错过这段经文的更深的意义。在旧约中，弥赛亚到来的日子预示着一个美酒丰盛的日子，这正是以赛亚书25章6节、约珥书3章18节和 阿莫斯书九章十三节所暗示的。这些经文告诉我们耶稣第一次降临时的情形，以及他所要带来的极大的转变和喜乐。今天讲到的中心的信息是，耶稣作为弥赛亚已经到来，他要赐福他的受造物，使他们变得更加美好。与此相关，圣经也告诉我们，葡萄酒是一个极具有象征意义的弥赛亚的记号，这也是我们在圣餐中使用它的原因。耶稣来是为了我们的罪付上了代价，借着他的死亡完成了这一个救赎。耶稣的到来也是要改变我们的生命成为美好，就是通过他洗净辖制我们生命死亡全世的罪。当你喝主的杯的时候，这正是一个真理的宣告，你的罪已经被洗去了，你因着主耶稣使你变得更加的圣洁。所以在领受主的圣餐的时候，请你们要牢记这一切。